Today we continue on our series of the I Am statements of Jesus. We encounter one of the most beloved images of God throughout the whole Bible, that God is our good shepherd. We see this reference all throughout the Old Testament. It's the core of Psalm 23. We see it all throughout church history and throughout church art. It's something that has become ingrained as a part of our culture. It would have been something that the people in Jesus' day readily understood. They knew the challenges of raising sheep and the importance of a good shepherd. They would have clung to this image, this metaphor for God. But did you know in this passage, there's actually a second I Am statement buried in this text? Before we get to Jesus' bold claim that he is the good shepherd, first we hear him say that he is the gate, the doorway in which we encounter God. That's where we're going to be focusing our time today, this morning, learning just exactly who Jesus is and what it means for us that he is our gateway into God's kingdom. So I'd invite you to turn with me to God's word and hear the scripture this morning from John 10, verses 1 to 10. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he had brought them all out on his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For those of you who have pets, you probably are familiar with just how persistent they can be. Aaron and I have a cat, and I brought you a picture. I can't help myself. This is Mario. He turned 16 this last month. I can't believe it. But he is persistent as none other. I know cats have a reputation of being a little aloft, but once this guy gets the idea in his head that he wants to cuddle, there's just no stopping him. In fact, as I was practicing my sermon this morning, he insisted on climbing into my lap between me and my laptop, making sure that he got the majority of my attention. And while I do enjoy cuddling with him, there are times when I need to dedicate my full attention to the task at hand. For example, I was on the phone this week with one of my doctors, and I was trying to understand what they were telling me and taking notes about what they wanted me to do, when in walks Mario. And it was almost lunchtime, and he hadn't eaten for a whole, let's say, 3 hours, and he was starving. And it was like I was withholding from him, and just, he was on the brink of death. And he wanted to make sure I felt his pain, this poor guy. So he meowed, and he jumped on my desk, and he walked back and forth in front of me, and he'd climb up on my leg trying to get my attention. And finally, I just couldn't take it anymore, so I went to the other room, and I closed the door, so I could finally get just a little bit of peace. Well, you'd think I'd abandon that poor guy. He thought his life was ending. He started to meow and paw at the door, and he'd alternate between putting his paw under the door and then reaching up and trying to grab the doorknob, thinking that maybe he could open it on his own. And finally, he wore me down, and my phone call was over, so I opened the door and let him in, and I let him have his way. I sat down and let him get comfortable and spread out and do whatever he wanted, and then I arranged all my work around him so not to disrupt my little prince. Well, I'm sure some of you can understand what it's like to have pets, but I will tell you, I am thankful for the opportunity to be able to close the door once in a while and to keep him out, especially if, let's say, I'm trying to get some sleep at night. But it's amazing to me just how happy he can be to simply sit in my presence and to be with me and that intense longing he has to be with his master. It's like that with our pets, isn't it? I love the idea, though, that we have this ability to open and close gates, to close the door, to create this division, this separation. And it's the image that Jesus is pulling on today as he tells us that he is that gate, the ability to create a safe place for us, to keep us from harm, to provide that physical barrier that protects us and offers us some comfort. Sometimes I want nothing more than to cuddle with Mario, to give him 100% of my attention. In those times, I open the door and let him in and let him have his way after feeding him first. Otherwise, you know how it goes. Other times, there are more pressing matters in front of me, and I need to firmly close that door and create that barrier for him. It's the same way in our lives, isn't it? Sometimes the door to our lives stand open to the world. We're ready for anything the world throws at us. We're excited to see what the new day brings us. Other times, our door is shut out of fear, out of uncertainty, closed to give us a chance to refresh and recharge ourselves, closed to provide a little bit of distance between us and the world around us. That's the purpose of a door. To open and close, to create a barrier and to let it go again. That's what Jesus is saying to us that he is. I grew up in a small town, a town, believe it or not, smaller than Whitensville. And when I grew up, we never used to lock our front door. You knew everybody. I knew all of my neighbors. I would routinely go and spend time with them. There wasn't a lot of crime or fear in my neighborhood. There was nothing that we really had to worry about, so we left our doors unlocked. But I remember the day that that changed for me. I was in elementary school, maybe second or third grade, and a friend of mine told me that her house was broken into. And then she told me that there were these bad guys out there who were threatening to break into everybody's houses and take all the things that mattered to them and to destroy their property. And looking back, I doubt these stories were true. But suddenly, my house didn't feel safe anymore. And the doors took on a whole new meaning to me. And at the age of 7 or 8, I would go around the house every night before I went to bed and lock all the doors and make sure all the windows were closed. Because all of a sudden, I needed that physical barrier to be there, to make me feel comfortable, to make me feel safe in my own home. Sometimes doors and gates are necessary in our lives for our own safety, for our own protection and well-being. Jesus points this out as he's talking to us this morning. He talks about the very real dangers of this world, of thieves and robbers entering in, of false shepherds trying to lure us away and steal us from our God. And so Jesus describes himself as that gate that protects us and keeps us safe and provides that barrier to the world around us. People in Jesus' day would have immediately understood this imagery because oftentimes shepherds would build enclosures for their sheep, but there weren't enough materials to go around or there was too much work or too expensive to build an actual gate or an actual door. So instead of having a gate on the fence to keep the sheep in, the shepherd would just stand in that gate. They'd stand in that hole and make sure that their sheep didn't wander off or that the predators didn't sneak in. They'd even lay down and sleep in that hole, into that physical space to create a safety net for their flock. The shepherd literally was that gate. And they provided that protection for the sheep. So when Jesus claims to be the gate, to be the door, he's saying that he is the one that guards and protects his sheep, who keeps them safe and ushers them in to God's flock. And he says that he is the one that keeps us safe, that provides us protection and refuge from the world around us, who guards our hearts and our lives for the thieves and robbers who so often threaten to break in. But Jesus is saying something else important here in this text. He's telling us that he is the only way into God's fold, that he is the only door that will lead us into God's kingdom, that if we want to know the love and protection of our Heavenly Father, we must pass through the gate that is Christ, that it is through knowing God's love and care and grace in our lives that we experience God's true salvation. And yet we all know from living in this world how easy it is to get distracted, how easy it is to be lured away or stolen up by robbers and thieves. And oftentimes we find ourselves knocking on other doors, looking for that satisfaction and that abundance of life in all the wrong places. It's tempting, I think, to find our self-worth in what we do, in our jobs, in our careers, in our accomplishments. And so we go knocking on the door of success, trying to feel good about ourselves. It's easy to think that achievement will give us that sense of belonging and satisfaction that we long for. And so we work harder and harder and harder, trying to earn that grace that Jesus so freely offers. It's easy to put our confidence in the way that we look, believing the world when it tells us that it's what's on the outside that matters. And so we knock on the door of beauty and youth, thinking that that will satisfy us. It's tempting to knock on the door of indulgence when we need a little release, to look for comfort in a bottle or in that second helping of dessert, thinking that if we eat or drink the right things, that that's going to satisfy that longing in our souls. And yet none of the things here satisfy. None of these doors give us what we need. Because Jesus tells us that I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out, and they'll find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. That's the promise we have in Jesus, that in Christ we too can have abundant life. Life that is as it is meant to be lived, to find purpose and meaning and belonging and love. Because Christ satisfies like no other can satisfy. All those other temptations that call out to us like thieves and robbers in the night are deceptive and empty. They only have their own self-interest in mind. If you give me a little leeway here to mix metaphors a bit, we must learn to listen to our shepherd's voice, to hear him call above all others, to discern the voice of love that he has for us. Because it's only by following Christ that we can be guaranteed to know the life that he has called for us. It's only by following Christ that we can protect ourselves from these robbers and thieves in the world. Sheep are the perfect example of what this looks like for us, why it's so important to follow our master's voice. Because sheep, while they're not known for being the most intelligent of animals, know their shepherd's call intimately and come running at the sound of their master's voice. Greg Matt illustrates this perfectly in his book, I Am Changes Who I Am. And I'd like to read you a short story and invite you to listen to how we too can respond to God's voice. Matt says, in the middle of the night, a cry rang out across the pasture. It wasn't a cry for help or a warning. It was a specific call intended for one purpose. As the sound traveled across the sleepy plain, the quiet flock jolted awake in unison. The sound was familiar to them. They knew its source and significance. Without pause, the sheep rallied together and took off in the direction of the call. Weapons were no hindrance to them as they scurried past the soldiers in pursuit of the call that they were certain to be their masters. The Turkish soldiers of World War I were no match for the shepherds of Jerusalem. While war raged around Europe, the Turkish soldiers had decided to plunder the unsuspecting Jerusalem shepherds. They made their move in the darkest hours of the night and took the sheep by force. The shepherds, bewildered by the strength of the soldiers' numbers and their daunting arsenal, had no other choice but to relinquish their flock to the thieves. But they knew who ultimately held the upper hand. Once the sheep were under the watchful guard of the Turkish soldiers, the shepherds enlisted their greatest weapon to retrieve their lost sheep, a call. The hostage situation was no match for the specific call of a shepherd to his sheep. Though sheep are not known for their intelligence, they know the call of their shepherd. And these sheep came running, past the guards, past the guns, and out of captivity. The shepherd's call rang out over all other noise and defeated any other threats. Sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they follow. I would die a happy woman if the same could be said about me, that I knew the voice of my shepherd, and I followed when he called. Friends, we need to learn to hear the voice of our master, to distinguish his call from the calls that surround us in this world, because it's only by following him that we will truly be satisfied. So we must dedicate ourselves to listening and learning to hear God's voice and to respond with obedience when he calls for us. Maybe for you that means listening to Christian radio as you drive to work, or signing up for a devotional email to remind you of God's word every day. Maybe you hear the shepherd's voice best when you gather with other Christians to pray and study the Bible. Or maybe you hear God the loudest in the stillness of nature. No matter how you hear God, each one of us needs to spend time refining that voice and listening to that call. Because it's only by knowing and loving God that we receive that abundant life that we long for so much. Because Jesus is that gate to eternal life. And unlike my poor cat, who often encounters a locked door, the way to God is always open. We don't have to beg and plea to be let in, because Christ is there, holding the gate wide for us, letting us in, keeping us safe, giving us all that we need. I wonder how my life would be different if I truly believed that. If I truly believe that Jesus was all that I need, like a sheep who knows its shepherd always has the best thing in mind, or a cat content to purr and sit in its master's lap. I wonder how all of our lives would be different if we truly believed that all we needed was Jesus and we responded to our master's voice. Let us pray. God, what a gift it is to sit in your presence and to soak in your love, to know that whenever we knock on your door, that you will answer, that you are always there waiting to welcome us into your kingdom, to surround us by your love, and to care and protect us from the dangers of this world. Help us this day and this week to simply sit with you, to hear your voice, to respond to your call to love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.